This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, and I'm delighted to be speaking with Pastor Pat Bailey of Telluride Christ Presbyterian Church. Pastor Pat Bailey will be leading a series of talks at the Wilkinson Public Library starting this Thursday, that's June 6th, and running for the next 9 weeks. The talks take place at 6 o'clock in the program room of the library. Pastor Pat has been exploring the subject of evolving consciousness as he earned his PhD thesis, which he just received a Doctor of Ministry from San Francisco Theological Seminary. Pastor Pat, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, Susan.
So, going back to your boyhood, you were born into the Baptist tradition. Will you talk about the influence of those early beginnings?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Atlanta where there's a Baptist church on every corner, so it was kind of inevitable. And that was very powerful for me as a young kid, especially up till about 8 years old when my family stopped attending church. I think that was part of those shifts in the 60s and 70s that was going on. But, you know, I did go into the service shortly after high school, and I was stationed at a base in Madrid, Spain. And it was there that I joined a Christian Servicemen Center that was, pretty much a conservative, evangelical kind of community. And, you know, it was the 70s, so we were all kind of Jesus freaks sort of folks, you know. There was certainly in that kind of community a strong bond. We were all young people trying to find our way, you know, and we had this strong kind of I-thou relationship sense with God and our relationship with Jesus as we understood him. But overall, it was a pretty conventional, you know, theology and worldview. But, you know, that's what we kind of needed at that point, I think. We needed something to ground our lives. In those late 70s, we probably needed something to give a bit more meaning, a deeper sense to our lives, and a more healthy and moral direction for our lives. And then after returning from the service, I attended a denominational college and began to prepare for the ministry. And it was a conservative and evangelical institution and denomination. But, you know, through my studies after college, I realized that the worldview of that particular group was really too confining for me and not really able to answer some of the questions that I had. So, you know, it was at that point that I became a Presbyterian and attended the Presbyterian seminary.
So you have talked to me in the past about a kind of spiritual journey from what you described as magical consciousness to mythical consciousness. Could you talk about that evolution?
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of taking a developmental approach to what happens to us as we, especially through those younger years of our lives that are also reflected in our culture, you know, the evolution of our culture. So when a child is 5 years old or four or five years old, you know, the world is magical. Anything is possible. And that's the way they see their reality, and that's really the only way they can see their reality. And what a wonderful reality it is, by the way, because, you know, it really is an approach to life full of wonder, full of amazement, full of magic. But then when they begin, you know, around 5, 6, 7 years old, they typically will shift from that magical consciousness because they don't want to be little children anymore. And what happens is that the mythology, the paradigms for our culture, or if it's religious, you know, if we're influenced religiously, those mythical worldviews begin to shape consciousness. And, you know, the real point is that whether a kid's in a religious community or not, that's true. The way of looking at the world is black and white, good and evil. Being able to conform to those groups that are important to them, including their families, but it becomes broader than their families, conforming to those groups in ways where they can fit in, where they can feel like they're part of, and that they are, making this journey toward adulthood in that kind of environment. So, you know, that's that shift to mythical consciousness. The thing is that what happens when the kids are really in early high school is that they begin to shift out of that consciousness, seeing everything as right or wrong, good and evil, and that sort of thing, to a more rational approach to the way they view things. And that's what happens. That's where the tension comes for a lot of folks who have been, or kids who have been raised in religious communities, is those religious communities many times fail to validate that process of moving into a rational worldview. They want to hold people in that mythological worldview. So it's very important for religious communities to be able to help people through those processes as we grow and learn and as our consciousness expands and as our worldviews begin to shift in life.
Just as a teaser for the upcoming library talks, at the heart of which we know will be some of the philosophers and philosophies you studied, would you talk? Give us just a couple of examples and why they resonated with you.
Yeah, well, you know, in my dissertation, in my work on my doctorate, you know, it was kind of a in-house process of looking at different theologians, especially in the Christian tradition, and to look at them in ways that are especially theologians that were more integrative of nature and spirit or of rationality and spirituality. And to move past the kind of, you know, dualism that we see often in religious communities of, you know, there's heaven and there's earth, and the two are, you know, opposed to one another somehow. So I studied an Orthodox theologian that was a much more integrative Orthodox theologian, a modern and rationalist theologian, a process theologian, and also a postmodern theologian. So I was looking at models that help us bridge that dualism and have a more integrative approach. In a broader sense, my interest in world religions and interfaith spirituality, you know, brings that discussion to how our consciousness is evolving in ways that are really even looking beyond, you know, a lot of those kind of boundaries. And a lot of that is in that conversation between science and religion or spirituality, which used to be a battleground. You know, the scientists wanted to say everything was material and there's nothing else. And the religionists wanted to say, well, our view of God is the true picture of reality. But what we're finding now is this wonderful dialogue going on between people who have experience in both camps, the people who began as scientists, and now want to speak, you know, a lot about the spiritual aspects of our reality, and a lot of others that began as spiritualists or religionists of one sort or another, but are saying, hey, you know what, this science is talking about this on a deeper level as well. You know, that's what the Dalai Lama has been talking about, of the integration of science and spirituality within that tradition, and there's a lot of other people doing that. So some of the people that I'm using are some cosmologists like Brian Swim. Brian Swim is a PhD in math and did a lot of work in the beginnings of the universe and gravitation and things like that. So he's coming from very much a scientific point of view, and he's talking about those deeper aspects, though, of the universe that we can't fully explain, that hold things together and raise those questions for the scientific community. Also, Philip Clayton is a process theologian is doing the same thing. Certainly philosophers like Ken Wilber and Jacob Needleman that are talking about the shifts in consciousness and how we locate those changes and locate different worldviews. And also the thing I love about Ken Wilber is, you know, it's about also honoring all those worldviews. It's not just saying, well, this is stupid and this is smart or this is right and this is wrong, but it's saying, well, there's reasons why we have a variety of different approaches and worldviews, and then that helps us then look at how that consciousness is shifting and how we can participate in that. There's also a couple of wonderful evolutionary theologians, Michael Dowd and Bruce Sanguin. Both are pastors and theologians, and they're looking at this very much from a evolutionary point of view. We're going to talk about world religions a bit, too, and I've chosen some discussions from Houston Smith, but I think I'll also be drawing in some other things to talk about how, you know, the world religions, you know, talk about these shifts in consciousness. And then a little bit of work from biological anthropologist Helen Fisher, who talks about shifts in consciousness in terms of human sexuality and human relationality. And then, you know, all of this kind of stuff comes back to then the spiritual teachings and comes back to spiritual practice. And one of the persons I'm going to use to kind of use as an example of that is Eckhart Tolle, but there's a broad range of others. You know, when we talk about consciousness and we talk about views of reality, we are talking about spiritual life and spiritual practice as well.
Wonderful. I'm going to restrict you to one or two sentences for this because I want to wrap up so we can save a lot of juice for your upcoming lecture series. But what do you hope will come out of this series?
More than anything, Susan, a wonderful conversation. I think this is on a lot of people's minds. You know, we've done a few programs at the library about what's the future hold and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of interest in that. I just want people to know that there's a lot of amazing folks and communities that are talking about this from very different perspectives, but yet are saying much the same thing. And so to bring that into conversation and realize how rich the conversation truly is today.
So the conversation Pat Bailey is talking about is one about our evolving spiritual consciousness. That series of conversations, once again, will take place at the Wilkinson Public Library beginning this Thursday, June 6th. That conversation will take place for 1 hour every Thursday for 9 weeks, 6 to 7 p.m. Pastor Pat, thanks so much for joining me.
Great pleasure, Susan. Thank you.
Talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye.